From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to, period. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Got the chance to talk to a physical therapist who's doing something a little extraordinary. Kelly Roseberry is the program director for the Travis Mills Foundation. Travis, one of our service members who was injured in combat, came back, worked to Walter Reed. That's where he met Kelly. Kelly and Travis then continued their relationship after Travis opened the Travis Mills Foundation up in Maine. A great place for wounded veterans to do, well, just stuff that they want to do. We learn more about the foundation and what Kelly gets to facilitate. Take a listen to what she gets to do as a PT and where her PT career has taken her. First round brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Check them out online at owensrecoveryscience.com, plus their own podcast, the Owens Recovery Science Podcast, available now on iTunes and wherever podcasts are heard.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Welcome to PT Pintcast. On the program today, the program director for the Travis Mills Foundation, Kelly Roseberry, is a physical therapist and works with that great organization, which you can find out more at travismills.org. Kelly Roseberry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Love talking about stuff like this because I like to see where physical therapy can get to. Of course, as physical therapists, we know that it could get lots of different places, but I love when it has already infiltrated those places and it's doing good things. So let's start from the start. Your PT career, where'd that begin and how'd that lead you to the foundation where you are now?
I actually was able to get quite involved in the military system when I was still a PT student with my internships through Shenandoah University. I come from a military background, and so really it was kind of a natural fit. It was where I felt most comfortable, and so I was really lucky and able to get into the amputee clinic at Walter Reed as a new grad. As I finished my internship, I pretty much stayed on after taking boards. And so I spent 7 years in that clinic treating mostly polytrauma patients, war casualties, missing multiple limbs. I met Travis there, who was a quad amputee. He was the fifth to survive the recent war on terror, and he was just sort of a bundle of energy from the get-go. And once he had finished his rehab and sort of left the hospital, graduated, as we say, and moved on to, you know, doing bigger and better things in life, he had started this foundation up in Maine where his wife is from and sort of reached back out needing a program director. And he knew that I had some experience with that. I had run a camp for kids with amputations, and he's like, hey, I have this thing. I really think you should come up there. And, you know, so sort of one thing led to another, and he's real persistent. And it seemed like the right fit for the next step after the hospital.
I love that. Well, I mean, I don't want to skip over like something like, you know, getting into Walter Reed. I mean, that's one of the spots, right, in the country. That's one of the spots where if you want to work in a military setting, if you want to work with these particular individuals, that's the place to be. Good on you for getting in there, and obviously for working your butt off and being able to stick around.
Absolutely, it was an absolute honor and privilege to be there. And you know, people ask a lot, how does that happen? And, you know, honestly, it's sort of a situation where the stars just align and the timing is just perfect. You know, I was able to get in there and do an internship. And then, you know, lucky for me, they had an opening sort of right as I was graduating. And, you know, when you spend 3 months there treating patients, they kind of know exactly what they're going to get if they're going to hire you. And so I think it was timing. And then, you know, you don't really have a choice but to work your tail off. It was a busy clinic and it was a lot of fun. I'm a better person for having the opportunity, for sure.
That's great. Yeah, I know some classmates, because I went to school in Northern Virginia at Marymount University. I know a lot of classmates who, you know, were trying to get in there. Of course, when you have a name like Walter Reed with such gravity, it's going to be, you know, a tough place to get into. I was lucky enough to have a physical therapist on the show a couple years ago, actually, Adele Levine, who wrote a book, Walk, Don't Run, about her time at Walter Reed. And it's just, it's got this mystique about it. And it's always great to hear people talk so fondly about their time there, for what they're able to do for the people they actually get to interact with. It's just great to hear.
It was a challenge. It really makes you think outside the box. And, you know, they're pushing the envelope and you have to push it right along with them. You don't want to be the limiting factor.
Yeah.
If somebody can imagine something that they, you know, can do, and you're in a little bit of a sort of a cloud type of an environment, a little bit of a bubble where, you know, you are able to do and treat patients just based on patient need, not necessarily dictated by insurance or visits or things like that. So it's a little bit of a fantasy world sometimes, but it does allow for some of that creativity and a little bit of a different environment, for sure.
Is it because of the military setting? Is that why?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I mean, I've talked to Johnny Owens, who's worked for the Center for the Intrepid.
Oh, yeah.
He said similar sentiments. He's saying, our job was to say yes and then figure it out, which,
right.
I mean, that's what all physical therapists really, really want to be able to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and I loved how you mentioned, like, the limiting, you don't want to be the limiting factor. Absolutely not. And that's
right.
That's great that you get to see things and say, probably in your head, I have no idea how we're going to do that, but we're going to figure it out, which is really, and that's the attitude of that's the overarching attitude of our women and men in the armed services, is I have no idea how we're going to do that, but we're going to figure it out.
Yep. If they're willing to try, I'm willing to try right along with them, for
sure.
It.
Love that. All right. So let's talk about Travis. You mentioned that you came across, you know, working with him and meeting him and being just a giant amount of energy.
Yes.
You know, who was he when you came across him? You know, tell a brief story so the audience gets a feel of who he is.
By the time I met him, he had been an amputee for maybe 2 weeks. I was not his primary therapist. One of my coworkers was his primary therapist, but if she was out, then I would take him. But quite honestly, if anyone was in that clinic when he was there, you all had a part in Travis's rehab. But he was just, from day one, just a complete ball of energy. He was going to take on the world. And he came in and, you know, he's like, I'm going to be the fastest quad amputee to get out of here. I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have things that I have to do. And he channeled that and he was able to focus on his rehab. Everybody used him frequently as either a mentor, or they called him the mayor of Walter Reed. They would send him into somebody else's room when someone was having a bad day.
Wow.
And say, you know, hey, if he can do it, you can do it. Because that just carries a different sort of weight than me with all of my limbs walking in and being like,
yeah.
No, really, you can run. It's easy. Here we go.
Show him, don't tell him. Just say, hey, here's Travis, and then get out of the way.
Right, exactly. Hey, meet this guy.
Right. So why did he start the foundation? I mean, someone like that who has the energy, and you mentioned his family, his daughter has the motivation to do that for them. Of course, he's got that personality. And when you have a nickname like the mayor, you've got that personality. So I guess why he started the foundation probably isn't a good question, but how did he begin to do that? Because obviously he wanted to continue being the mayor of something bigger after he left Walter Reed.
Right. You know, every great idea starts somewhere and then morphs, right?
Yeah.
He and his wife and a small nonprofit had this idea that they would send care packages. And that's all it was ever going to be. They were going to make backpacks and put these packages together and send them to people overseas. And that was going to be it. That's a great service. You know, when you know what it's like to be deployed, you know the things that you appreciate getting from home. And not everybody gets that from a support system at home. So here we're going to send these backpacks. Well, because Travis's personality is so contagious, he was able to get a lot of people on board with this idea. And so as the funds kept coming in, he realized, like, I think I can do more with this. He actually had gone on a trip to Crested Butte, Colorado, and his wife was allowed to come with him because he was severely injured enough that he required a non-medical attendant. Not everybody gets that when they travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so he realized, as he was mountain biking down in Colorado, a legit mountain, not like in Virginia. and he realized how cool that was to have his wife there with her support. And he said, you know, if we're going to do this, we have to include the whole family.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. That's treating the individual, and with that comes his support system like that. That's fantastic.
Right.
So now, how would you describe what you do in Maine? How would you actually tell, you know, other therapists what you're actually able to do there and who you do it for?
So I get to do the best of all things. I have no note writing. I have no insurance documentation,
what?
Submitting claims, any of that. So we bring physically wounded vets and their families to Maine, and then I get to run all of the fun things for them to do here. So we have hand cycling, we have an adaptive ropes course, we do kayaking, golf, yoga, massage, you name it. And if we don't have it, I'll figure out a way to bring it next time.
Wow.
And so we get to adapt everything, and we make it, you know, meet the needs of every member of the family while they're here.
How many?
Which is super fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're living in fantasy land. It sounds like candy land to me. Yeah. I mean, no.
From one to the other, right?
No notes. You get to do kind of, you know, you play games. And as we know from pediatrics all the way through to geriatrics, playing a game, making it meaningful, making it fun, is going to be the one thing or one of the giant things that will lead someone to getting better and getting better faster. That just sounds like that summer camp, man.
It is in all seasons. You know, people ask, like, describe this and how is it related to therapy? And it's, you know, people graduate from their rehab programs all the time and they go on to real life. And it's the next phase of rehab. You know, we as therapists know that, especially with life-changing injuries like these, that rehab is a lifelong process. And it changes the dynamics of every single person in that family. And so to allow a father to get on a hand cycle and bike ride with his kids for the first time is just as important as the first time they stand up. It's just in a different way. It's a lot more real life, which sometimes is in itself the best kind of motivation.
Of course. Yeah, it's making it real, of course. You're giving me a why. What can you tell me? What are some HIPAA-safe success stories or just great moments that you've been able to see up there in Maine?
I had one dad, so we offer a self-defense class from a veteran-owned organization that comes up here, and they offer a self-defense class. So this dad is missing part of his pelvis on one side, very high above knee amputation on the other side, and he has three daughters, and he went to that class with those girls, and he was able to participate in teaching them how to be safe and take care of themselves while someone else was able to demonstrate what he was saying. And he said, for me, I never thought I'd be able to do that with them. But now, even though I don't feel like I can keep them safe, I feel like I have given them the tools to be able to keep themselves safe, which was, you know, sort of one of those, oh, you got my heart right there kind of a moment. I mean, we've had people, one person said, I went fishing for the first time since I lost my dad because I lost my leg right before and I just didn't think it would be the same. So, you know, it touches a lot of aspects of their lives. And luckily for us, they share it with us.
Gosh, I'm not crying. You're crying. No, but it's good because, you know, you can picture what those moments are like. And you said, real life happens, quote, after rehab. And I think Cole Galloway, who on this show said, you know, why would you want to climb fake stairs in a fake gym, those fake stairs to nowhere? Let's get them out fishing because that's what they want to do anyway. Let's get out of their let's get out of their way, or even better, let's go with them. You know, let's go with them fishing.
Right. That's that fantasy world. Yeah. You get to go with them.
How can someone listening help? What are some of the ways people can, number one, find out more? How can they help and where can they do it?
So we have a website. So TravisMillsFoundation.org. Our organization as a whole is largely run based on volunteers. And so anybody who wants to, you know, more information about becoming a volunteer, we have people that come up and vacation in Maine for a month in the summer. They come spend a week with us. You know,
Some of them are,
but if they come, they won't come in a necessarily a therapist capacity. But like I say, I always bring my therapist brain.
Yeah, you can't untie that.
You can't, but it means you don't have to bill for it.
Yeah.
And so they come and they can do everything from helping on the waterfront or on a ropes course, being a driver at the airport, you know, housekeeping. I mean, really, it could be any number of things, but you get that interaction with those families. You get to watch what's happening around you while you're here. So most people love doing that because, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, I probably, as much as I feel like we give to these people, I take home even more.
Gosh, that sounds cool. All right, when can you take me? What do you need? I'm in.
So we just wrapped up our second summer. So the organization, the retreat itself, underwent massive renovations and opened summer of 2017. So we just finished our second summer. We had 75 families come this summer. And we're
That's a lot. 75.
It is a lot.
Good for you.
So we can host 8 families at a time. It's sort of a bed and breakfast style of a building.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice because it keeps the group small. So they unintentionally get, you know, sort of their own form of counseling, even though we try to stay away from anything resembling medicine because they've probably done that a lot.
Sure.
And we're getting ready to do 6 more weeks between now and the end of the year.
and then we'll do our first ever official winter programming in February of next year.
And what sort of things are you guys able to get into in the winter up there in Maine? You guys doing some adaptive skiing or what?
The one thing we aren't going to do is downhill skiing and snowboarding.
Okay.
But we're lakeside, so in the summer we enjoy the water, but we're going to do ice fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Sled hockey, snowshoeing, tubing, you know, all those other sort of fun winter things. You know, I mean, I'm from Virginia. Things don't freeze well enough down there to be able to walk on water at all. So to be up here and be able to, you know, ride on a snowmobile or, you know, do fun things like that, it's just different.
That's great. TravisMills.org. There's also a movie available, TravisTheMovie.com. You can also get the link from TravisMills.org. Talk about that, a soldier's story.
Everybody has their story. And Travis's story, not only is it unique in the severity of his injuries, but what he has done in his outlook post-injury is what, you know, really has set him apart. And so they did a documentary on him, on his story, on his recovery with his family. That one, you might cry in that one.
Yeah.
That one pulls on your heartstrings a little bit too. It's the reality of, you know, sending a young soldier off to war and the potential effects and outcomes of that on their way back. But it's a great story. You can see his outlook and attitude kind of shine through. He's a jokester for sure. He keeps our hands full.
Good. Award-winning documentary, that's Travis, A Soldier's Story. You can take a look. It's available on DVD, Blu-ray, and then the easy ones for me, because I'm lazy, iTunes, Amazon, or Netflix are the easiest way to get there. So also more information, Travis the Movie. Plus, I was on the website, TravisMills.org. I think I'm getting myself a t-shirt. You got a store with some stuff that's available, looking good?
Yeah, we do. And I think it's going to be updated here in the next couple of months. But we like, you know, to make sure that just to kind of spread the word in as many ways as we can. And
Kelly, what have you learned working with Travis since you met him and beyond? What are some of the things that you've taken away that you've been able to use and say, wow, these are things I can apply universally?
I think the not being a limited factor is probably the biggest thing, that where there's quite literally where there's a will, there's a way. No matter what. I remember having the challenge of, you know, okay, get Travis's heart rate up. Let's do some sort of cardio exercise with him. Everything that pops to your normal mind is out the window with someone with no arms and no legs acutely post-surgery. So if you can kind of problem solve and just look outside the box and not limit yourself or put limitations on what your patient's expectations are, I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I love the fact that on that trip to Colorado, as you mentioned, he knew that because he was able to have his wife there, that having that family member support is something that you should focus on and draw and build a program around, because we're trying to return Travis to wherever and whoever he wants to be around and everybody else that we work with. That's our goal, whether we say it or not. So I'm glad that this program that you guys have created is literally centered around that.
Right. You know, I mean, in school, how many times did we spend time on that ICF model and all of those things that it's like, oh, I really hope I never have to do this again in real life after school. But in reality, those are all factors that play into how somebody's going to do once they're not coming to see you anymore. And you want that to be as strong as possible. And you find support for these patients wherever you can. And then you want to foster that and continue it, because at the end of the day, you can't be with everyone all the time, no matter how much we try. And so to be able to give them resources and their own network where, you know, they realize that no, they're not the only one to go through this is something that, you know, is priceless for them.
Yeah. And I always thought that patient education was just kind of a throwaway while I was in school, patient and caregiver education. Then I realized when you start working with people, like, oh no, that's like one of the biggest things, because you're not going to be around me all the time.
Right. So they might try.
They might try. Some, you know, we do have people who try to stick around a little bit too long, and some we want to keep around a little bit longer. But you know, the key is I got to make sure that you understand the what, the why, the how that we're doing here, so that you can take it beyond.
Right. Come back and visit.
Come
I always tell
visit.
People, you know, always come back and visit, but don't need me.
Right.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Hey guys, Maestro here, and I want to personally invite you to Rockstock 2018, the movement experience of the year. Join us in sunny Miami Beach, Florida on October 27th and 28th for movement, laughter, dancing, music, fun, and yes, you will get CEUs. The lineup is absolute fire, including yours truly and your girl, Dr. Court Conley. So head on over to rocktape.com, use the code PTPintcasters18 to save yourself some money. I'll see you there.
Let's do this. Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Kelly, you ready for three questions?
Absolutely.
Three questions on the show is brought to you by our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. All 50 states, including Maine, is where they find physical therapists jobs. Period. They want you to do what you want to do, where you want to do it, and you can find out any information about travel therapy, short-term or long-term placement, at AURESmedical.com. Like when you're a travel therapist, insurance, Con Ed, housing. They've got people who know the ins and outs of all those things, so they get you hooked up. AURESmedical.com. Kelly, first question. You went to PT school in Virginia. Now you're living up in Maine. Where else in the 50 U.S. states would you want to go and be a PT if you could?
Colorado.
Colorado, Alaska, Hawaii are the ones that come up a lot. Second question. What's something that you read that really inspired you?
I read Frank Beamer's book, I'm a Hokie.
Uh-huh.
So I read his book, and I think that his attitude towards how he treats every single person that he encounters in his day was really important to make sure that I try to remember that, no matter, you know, how big or small someone's job may seem. If you interact with them in a day, they're important to you.
That's great. Yeah, the Hokies, you guys tend to stick together.
We do. It's good. It's a good world.
Last question on three questions. Who is someone that the audience should know more about?
Travis. That seems like an obvious answer.
Yeah. And that's the thing is we heard a little bit about him, but unintentional plug, watch his movie, right? Watch the movie and you're going to find out a little bit more about him because you're going to see it from a different lens, literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. You're off the hot seat. That's three questions from our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. And again, that website to find out about travel physical therapy is AURESmedical.com. I actually had a friend sign up just the other day to figure out a travel placement. So do what you want, where you want it with Arias. All right. Last thing we do on the show is your parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Parting shot is your last opportunity, Kelly, to leave a thought, a feeling, a sentiment with the audience. What would you want them to know before you go?
You know, don't be limited by the clinic for PT. Make sure that you remember that the person sitting in front of you has a whole life outside of your clinic walls.
And I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I'm going to say, if in theory Travis were on the show, never give up, never quit. That's the motto of the Travis Mills Foundation. More information, travismills.org. The movie, the book, the store. Even if this story has moved you a little bit, drop a donation. You can do it there to help some other people maybe enjoy that retreat up in Maine. Kelly, appreciate your time. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm a little bit, and I know a lot of people listening, a little bit jealous that the things that you get to do and the people that you get to do them with and how you get to do them.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting.
Providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession.
For the profession.
To help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.